Now, do you have a joke about missing a day at school and therefore never being able to remember, say, a certain times table? Or maybe it was like for me, long division, or what the hell is iambic pentameter? Well, you might have learned to get away with it or cover it up, or you might have even been lucky enough to have a teacher that's recognised that you've fallen behind and helped you catch up. But imagine if your whole school experience had been like missing that one day of school, starting behind all the other children or falling behind and never catching up. A new report by the Mitchell Institute for Health and Education Policy shows one in four kids are missing out at key educational milestones, and disadvantage is often a factor. This has raised questions about whether we have a widening gap in our education system. Dr. Sarah Glover is the director of the Mitchell Institute, and she joins us now. Welcome, Sarah.
Oh, good morning, Cassie.
Now, are these numbers much bigger than you expected to find? I'm surprised by some of the findings that you've released today.
Yes, well, a lot of these data have been around for many years. And I guess what we've been able to do is look at the picture across the life course. So looking at early years, how ready children are for school at 5 and 6 year olds, and looking at language and cognitive skills, their communication, their emotional maturity. So a broad range of things. Looking at the middle years, so at year seven, have we set them up well for their learning in secondary school? So have they got enough literacy, being able to read, their numeracy for success in secondary school? And then the third milestone we looked at was the age 19 and whether they've completed school. And as we know, jobs for 15-year-olds have all but disappeared. So have these young people got those life chances by completing year 12? And finally, we looked at, well, what happens at 24 when they finished school, they finished post-school? Are they working? Are they in training? And have they, or are they in further study? So, in looking at all of these milestones, we've been able to actually understand who falls behind, who catches up, and the trajectory of many young people.
Mm. So you found that there is a lot of chance to catch up at certain points, in particular the beginning of high school. You can really kind of turn yourself around at that point.
That's right. And many students who've missed the first milestone at school entry do catch up at year seven. And so this is testament to the really great work that our schools are doing, where they are able to cater for the individual needs of so many children. But I guess the worrying concern is that, you know, 10% of children miss the milestones all the way through. So for us, we look at the education system and say, well, we've just not met these children's needs from the start all the way through.
And is disadvantage always the factor? Is that always the case?
No, it's not. It is a key factor. But what we have to realise is that children missing out come from all parts of the community. So they fall behind for a whole range of reasons. So, for example, if you look at year seven, you know, children who seem to be doing really well at year seven, they're reading well, they've got numeracy, still one in six of those will not complete year 12. So things happen in children's lives that, you know, take them off track. And even though we know that they come from all parts of the community, it is skewed to the more disadvantaged students from low socioeconomic backgrounds or indeed Indigenous students.
And how are we comparing with comparable education systems around the world? Are we holding our own?
We are. I mean, Australia is a very good system, and by international standards through the OECD, we are, you know, above average. So, you know, I think in many ways we perhaps have become a bit complacent in our rankings and our average, that we've got this sort of persistent tail, if you like, that we can't shift. But the other thing that I think is worrying, this report doesn't cover it, but other research has, is that we're also dropping our performance for our top students. So what this report says is we really need to meet the need of every student, both those who might be struggling, but also to make sure that we're extending the very top students as well.
So, you know, the Mitchell Institute, and this is a big report, and it's taken a number of, you know, a lot of time to prepare. What are you calling for? I mean, a complete revision?
Well, there's probably three things that we're really wanting to focus on. I think there's a real need to reinvigorate the purpose of education. What are we hoping to achieve? Most young people will spend about 17 years in education. So what do we really want at the end of that? And what Mitchell Institute would say is we need to be much more future-oriented in our education. So have children develop those capabilities of problem-solving, collaboration, creative, critical thinking, and be able to really work with others well, but in real-world learning situations. So we're calling also for schools to be partnering with other schools, to be partnering with business, to be partnering with the community so that children have that opportunity to really learn those capabilities, those skills that are going to set them up well for the future. Now, we're very excited that in Victoria, this is the first jurisdiction to actually set ambitious targets in this area in their new education state policy. Mm-hmm. So they have called for targets in creative, critical thinking. And this is a first, and we're very excited that, this is a possibility for all students in Australia.
Go on. Yes.
I was just saying, these skills are no longer this kind of nice to haves, the extras on the side. They're a real must for young people to thrive in a modern economy.
The idea of problem-based learning, is it difficult to quantify and therefore often overlooked as a learning technique?
Well, I think many schools are using these techniques, but I do think there is a tension between taking inquiry-based approaches that, you know, take time, and students need time to explore, to work things through, to come up with different solutions, get feedback. And when sometimes you have pressure on having to get through a curriculum, those are some of the tensions and clashes that teachers can often feel. So we would like to see our system much more oriented towards the capabilities for schools to be able to design their own curriculum that is flexible, meets the needs of their students, and inspires each child by connecting with the child's interests and motivation as well. So moving away from sort of tests and exams as the primary kind of goal to really looking at how we can understand children's capabilities and how they're developing those.
And how does the Gonski review of funding for schooling fit into this framework see?
Yeah, well, this is one of our other areas that we would like to see. Resources have to be directed where they're needed most, and these, of course, were the principles of the Gonski funding. We're seeing this, so New South Wales have really led the way in terms of adopting a funding model that is really meeting the students' needs. And Victoria, just recently, they've announced new funding. So this is promising signs, but we would like to see that, of course, across the country, and we would like to see that sustained so that schools can start to plan the learning and the curriculum that they know will meet their students' needs.
Mm. And you mentioned Indigenous kids as having some of them being represented more in the disadvantaged section. What about the difference between males and females? Did you find different vulnerabilities there?
Yes, and that's quite interesting actually, because it swings around from boys being perhaps more vulnerable in those earlier years to young women being missing milestones in those later years, you know, from school to post-school. So we see a lot of young women, for example, in part-time employment without a qualification and without secure employment. So it's a kind of real switch occurs through the life course.
Mm. We're talking with Dr. Sarah Glover, who's the director of the Mitchell Institute, which has just released a report about, milestones in education and how some kids miss certain ones and as we're hearing, 10% miss most of them along the way. You've been a teacher yourself, Sarah. How good are kids at hiding things they've missed out on? I mean, I remember sort of fudging my way through a few, important things, I think. And everyone's done it, but it must be hard as a teacher to figure out in a large class who's on board and who's not.
Most definitely. Yes, children are very skilled at not wanting to appear like they're struggling. So all sorts of things that occur in that example. So students' confidence will start to drop as their abilities as they struggle, so they'll lose confidence. You mentioned before about skipping school, so certain behaviours like that, and also just not sort of putting your head up in a class. But the thing is that the good teachers in our schools, and there's hundreds and thousands of great teachers each day, know how to tap into that child's interests and motivations. And this is the way to tap in to the child. If you learning anything, you have to feel confident. You've got to be motivated in intrinsically. And if you are anxious, if you feel like you're making a fool of yourself, learning's just not going to happen. So great teachers are doing this every day. They know where the student's at. They're building the learning confidence and generating. I think the thing that really we would like to see is teachers and students be able to create the curriculum that's going to meet every child at their point of need.
You can see why the bureaucrats are keen on testing, because it is just a really kind of black and white way of sorting through, you know, where resources need to be applied.
Yep.
But the good teacher thing, wow, I mean, that's something we'd all love to see. How do you see this being supported on a policy level?
Yes, yeah, so I mean, we also agree that having a test that gives a national kind of benchmark is a good thing. So we're not shying away from the fact that we need to know and understand. We wouldn't be able to do this report if we didn't have this kind of data. So that is incredibly important. But building the capabilities, supporting teachers, supporting leaders, and giving the highest quality support to our profession is what we would strive for. But the freedom to be able to make sure that they can design the learning that meets needs. And I guess the final part really is a lot of this starts preschool. So, what we're concerned about is how many young people start school behind and don't catch up. And we could really put much greater emphasis on what happens in preschool. And it really must be a priority. It's not child care while parents are working. It's a vital sort of early learning opportunity where children can really benefit from all walks of life. And we do know that the children who are most vulnerable are actually not participating or accessing some of those early learning programs in preschool.
It's something we hear so much, isn't it? Thank you very much for talking with us, Sarah.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Sarah Glover, the director of the Mitchell Institute, which has released this report. And don't we hear those same things? Early education, good teaching. When will we ever learn? Cassie McCullough with you this morning on Life Matters. In a moment, we're going to find out about a truly eccentric individual.